here I am in St. Mary's Cathedral, Limerick. This is a Church of Ireland cathedral. Of course, it was originally Catholic. The synod decided to build a church here in 1111. It was soon raised to cathedral status. And obviously, there's a bishop. Every cathedral has a bishop, and there's a cathedra, as in a throne for him or even her, because, of course, the Church of Ireland has ordained women since the early 90s, and indeed has got some women are bishops. The bishop is a man. Look, this is a baptismal font. Can lift that off, this wooden contraption. Lift that up, bit of water in there. And look the year on the candle, 2026. You see, Alpha and Omega. I am the Alpha and the Omega in the book of the Apocalypse, the end of the Bible. Look how tall it is. So, you know, this is the oldest building in Limerick. Now, obviously not all of it is original. Had to expand, some of it's fell down, sometimes for renovation things had to be replaced, but largely it is. Look at this, Sir Matthew Barrington, Bart, as in Baronet of Glenstall, then Obeid, as in died that year. The window's been restored, so that's a memory of him. Glenstall's about 10 miles outside of here. And there's that Benedictine Abbey with the boys' school. I know one of the old head boys of the school. Look at this memorial angel for someone who died in 1933. Imagine how much that would have cost. And imagine the poverty in Limerick at the time, what they could have done for the poor. Look, Thomas Henry Gleave, Katie as a knight, DL as in doctor of law. That's an honorary doctorate. So here we are. I've never been in here. And look at all these memorial plaques. And then we see right up top the draped urn, 18th, 19th century funerary sculpture that is a symbol of death. And then the mourning woman, the urn, as in symbolically containing the ashes. Usually they did literally, and they're very seldom cremated. They often say ashes, meaning mortal remains, even the person was buried. Christianity disapproved of cremation, thinking of it as pagan. Only the 20th century became it to be accepted. It wasn't actually forbidden under Christianity, but it was only to be done in extremis. You see another draped urn at the top of this memorial plaque. They're all English. So anyway, the Vikings were here. We're on King's Island, sometimes known as English Town, across the other side of the Shannon. Then that's Irish Town. Obviously, we're talking about south of the Shannon. There's a channel on the Shannon which goes around this island, making it King's Island. Okay, all these memorial plaques. Someone killed. And I remember reading this, at the end of Dan Breen's My Fight for Irish Freedom, this one. Rest, soldier, thy warfare hour, asleep that knows not breaking. Dream of battle, feels no more. Days of danger, nights of waking. In allusion to an IRA man. And I wonder where it comes from. I have a feeling it's Macaulay. And look at this little chapel. That's for the Earls of Limerick, the local aristocracy. Perry was their surname. Perry with a single R. Yeah, look what they've done on the ceiling, all the stars. And look at their coats of arms with their mottos up there in Latin. Virtue does not something. The support is a lion and a deer, is it? A lion and a dog or something? And look at the tomb. He's died in the 1840s. You see the big sideburns, very fashionable at the time. And Henry Hartstone. Hartstone Street is one of the main streets here. Viscount Glenworth. Okay. That was a courtesy title for the eldest son of the Earl of Limerick. His remains are left in the family vault close by this tablet. When the family vault is under the floor or something, little wooden chair there. And so on. Okay, all these memorial plaques in memory of. So anyway, this is obviously a Catholic church, and then came the Reformation in the 1530s. England had, and Wales had their Reformation. Then Henry VIII brought it to Ireland. He wasn't actually King of Ireland until, when was it? I think 1542, but he was Lord of Ireland. So how popular it was, I'm not sure. And England was largely imposed on the top. So that was it. So closed down all the monasteries. Abbeys, priories, and so forth. I've been to one in Sligo that was suppressed, for example, and said, there's no more Catholic churches, the Church of Ireland, but that largely failed. The Church of Ireland only took root in eastern Ulster and maybe the coast of Leinster. Obviously, you know, this cathedral was Roman Catholic, then Church of Ireland, but I say largely, because obviously there were some people of Church of Ireland, but the majority of us always remained Catholic, partly because of weaker government control. Was it to differentiate ourselves from the English? Fascinating question is, what would have happened if there'd been no English Reformation, if Catherine of Aragon had a surviving son, presume there would have been no Reformation because Henry VIII was a zealous Catholic up until that point, been given the title Defender of the Faith for his book, A Defense of the Seven Sacraments, and so on. Look at all these biblical scenes here, and so on. So the mayors of Limerick often worshipped here, and then came penal laws, these were legal disabilities imposed on the Catholic majority, and only Protestants could become mayor. Well, more than Protestants, members of the Church of Ireland. And Protestants outside the Church of Ireland were often called dissenters, as in Methodists, Baptists, Presbyterians, Independents, Unitarians, and so forth. So, you know, the members of the Church of Ireland was sort of 15% of the population of Ireland, maximum. And somewhere like Limerick would have been lower than that. I mean, Limerick City might have been sort of 10% max, the countryside much lower than that. But they held the property, they had the best schools, they had the only university, Trinity College Dublin. So the mercantile class devoted a lot to here. What was I going to say? The O'Briens were the kings of Thomond. Thomond's now North Munster, hence the Rugger Stadium here is called Thomond Park. And this was the site of their palace. Some of them were buried here. And later some O'Briens, they became the Earl of Inchiquin, got that title in the early 17th century. I remember reading the Eton College Chronicle, Eton School newspaper, and in the early 20th century, he used to listen to all the parents and their full address. You'd be allowed to do that now. The Earl of Inchiquin, and it was some castle, was called O'Brien Castle, there in what's it called? In County Clare, just north of here. So look at the choir stalls, choir spelled Q-U-I-R-E. Look at the pulpit from where they preach. Holy, 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 and IHS, as in from Ichthos in Greek, fish, the acronym for Jesus Christ, Son of God, Saviour. One candle on either side, the crucifix, cross. Notice a crucifix, not a cross. Yeah? They don't have the image of Jesus affixed to it. Now, I do not sit here. I'm not quite sure why. And is this the cathedral? You see the mitre, the bishop's hat, meant to be reminiscent of the tongues of flame coming out the heads of the 12 apostles at Pentecost. Is that 50 days after the ascension of Jesus Christ? Okay. In memory of Aubrey O'Brien. Oh, killed in the First World War, all the O'Briens. They were the leading aristocratic family. And there's the altar. I'm surprised these people are allowed up here. Well, I can too. And even the altar rails have been donated in favour of someone. Elmer P. St. Pearson Hackett. And who's up here? Okay, so you pay €5 to come in. How about that? These are tombs. Oliver Cromwell. Yeah, Cromwell's son-in-law. What's his name? Henry Ireton. He was the Lord Deputy of Ireland, he fought the Siege of Limerick in 1651, and he died of an illness here. So I think he's buried here as well. He's one of these for him. And I knew an Ireton, perhaps his descendant. And indeed, he was, wasn't he Provost of Trinity College Dublin? Oh, yeah. So he's often hated the Earl of Thomond because, you know, here Cromwell is seen as the English Hitler. And if something stinks, they usually say, it smells like Cromwell. Oh, here, praise is to God by your works and graces. Something, the race of O'Brien, act the race of O'Brien. It's got it in Latin. So really, the bishop is a bishop of Limerick, Ardfert, and Agadeau. These are tiny places. They have cathedrals there, but, you know, so they amalgamated, they rationalized it. In, was it the 1860s, 1870, the Church of Ireland was disestablished under an act passed in 1868. Because there used to be Church of Ireland clergymen in every parish in Ireland, even if there were no communicants. And there were like dozens of bishops, and that was ridiculous. So they slimmed it down, and it's had no official status. Obviously it can exist, but it's not linked to the state. For your what? Benefactors? This, I know I can't really get, is praise to God. Okay. Limerick and Killaloe, United Diocese. Killaloe somewhere up the Shannon, a small place. I've been there once. There's that military tune, Killaloe. There's Jesus Christ holding the cup, holding the lamb, holding the sacred scrolls. And look at there is Jesus Christ on his throne. Okay, so wonderful stonework. And this is the oldest cathedral in Ireland, still completely intact as a cathedral. The others have been largely rebuilt. Look at that, marvelous. Ah, so we do have some Latin. Okay, to God, the glory of God, and in dutiful memory of Edmund, the Viscount of Glenworth. And Lady Victoria, his wife, the wife of Jacob Brady, who proudly did these works. How about that? Well, that's not that terrible. Thank you, Mr. Needham, and Mr. Faulkner, and Mr. Caithness, and Mrs. Nugent. Is that it? and Mr. Shorten Jones. He used to call him Shorthand Jones because he was missing one finger, missing, well, below the first knuckle. He used to poke us on the head with it. Anyway, so I'm delighted to have come in here, something in Limerick I've never seen. I came here once when I was three, obviously, at least once more in my childhood, at least twice more in my childhood, and then once when I was 18, once when I was like 20, and then once. It's about my seventh time in Limerick, definitely. That's it, I'm a quarter Limerickish. And look at that marvellous, very modern image of Jesus Christ, very stylised. And Jeb, one of the bishops. I had a feeling that Chenoweth Trench, the guy who was headmaster of Eton, that he had a grandfather, the Bishop of Limerick. Obviously, Anglican clergy are allowed to wed because the Church of Ireland is part of the Anglican Communion. All those churches that were sort of copies of the Church of England, they're called the Anglican Communion. And every 10 years at the Lambeth Palace Conference, largely the same theology and rite, as an R-I-T-E style of worship. So that's it. But, you know, there's such a small minority here. The chap on the desk said he couldn't ask some questions about the history of the cathedral. He said he's not a docent. I'd never heard that word in English. I know it exists in Romanian and Russian, as in someone who's got a doctorate. Okay, so that's enough scintillating and very enjoyable. How rewarding. So that was a real success out of my visit to Limerick.